Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
If you haven't heard.
The old one.
The old one. I know he looks young. But you don't how much surgery went into this thing. You know what I'm saying? He is found the fountain of youth.
That's it.
Isn't that the guy that discovered Florida?
Yeah, he was looking for Puerto Rico. Ponce de Leon.
He was looking for the fountain of youth once he found out the earth wasn't flat, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Can you imagine how they were selling? Let's go another nod.
Sure, we make it.
Still round, sir. Still round, sir.
Coming where no man has gone before, right?
It makes you wonder what we think is flat today and what's round.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So many people think that economy is flat, but the truth is we're finding out it's round. Even though Thomas Friedman wrote a book that says the world is flat.
Yeah.
But in regards to the mindset when they thought the world was round, they just thought about themselves and they weren't connected to anything, you know, as much. And now the whole world's connected. I was looking at a business, Abu Dhabi, and listen, he was speaking at Princeton and from China, and to hear the innovativeness around the world. We're just listening to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speak at the APAC, talking about the technology and how business and states are come from America are going to Israel for technology. And it's can do business worldwide. You know, our listeners and viewers and VFN TV and Daily Radio program are worldwide. And somebody's, you know, it's like, why not? We're called to be the light of the world. Mm-hmm. We're commanded to be the light of the world. And we want to be able to tell everybody about the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we talk about that quite often, and we're just excited to be a part of that. We're going to be talking about in this program, these two young boys. This video is going to bless your heart.
Mm.
Well, you don't normally do this, but you got to hear this. These young boys begin to just play their music. One's singing, one's playing the guitar, and they're just worshiping the Lord. We're going to have that in a little bit. And just to hear them, because I didn't know what the song was going to be at first when I saw it. But once I saw it, I'm like, oh, it just blessed my heart. But also I want to give a big shout out to all those who participated in the down in Gulf Coast region, Joe Miller, who leads Pray for Pensacola and a 40 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. And he fasted for 40 days. And many people joined throughout. And mm-hmm. I think we had like 7 days in that. And just praying for his body and God, you know, give him the desires of his heart. But we thank God for Joe Miller and what he stands for and his willingness to cry out to God. And God looks for a man to stand in the gap. And that's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. They're standing in the gap. But Joe has been leading that for quite some time, and God does hear prayer, and we're just thank God for him. Also, we're going to be talking about the world's largest police forces. You think about this. Why would you even think about that? We think about that because if we lose our freedom,
things are changing.
We will lose it to the local police. It'll be the police that have to fulfill whatever that is. And I was an officer for 10 years, and without our police officers, believe me, it would be like Iraq. Yeah. That was our big issue in Iraq. When the war was over, there was no police officers. And so they had to train up police officers to be able to come in, local community police officers. They're the ones that keep the crime, keep the flood of crime from coming into your neighborhoods and community. And people say, well, I still got crime. But realize there would be a lot more without that officer who gets up every day and puts on his or her uniform, puts on their bulletproof vest, puts on all the things they have to put on, and that heavy gun belt that carries, hopefully, items and things that will protect them and protect you from harm to you. And get in their cars and begin to patrol like, you know, they used to be doing horseback. They're doing it in cars now. And they're just riding up and down your streets and they're looking for things. And we thank God for our law enforcement. And we need to pray for them. That's a tough job. That's a real tough job. And when I got saved, actually, I was in law enforcement. I was riding about 2 o'clock in the morning and gave my heart to God. God just called my name. Mm-hmm. And I just night and day, I turned my life around. God did. And I thank God for that. I think my testimony is on meetmyfather.org. I don't know if I talk about that. But we got a couple more things we're going to be speaking about. But I want to talk about, hopefully get a chance to talk about this book, The Son of Hamas. Believe it or not. You know, when I first heard about it, it's a Christian, and he gave his life to the Lord. This man gave his life to the Lord, but he was part of Hamas. Hmm. And not only that, he is a son of one of the leaders of Hamas.
Wow.
And
Hamas is again?
Hamas is the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, right?
Yeah.
And it was amazing. I was just overtaken when I read this book, and my heart just melted. But it gave me compassion for the Muslim people. It gave me compassion for him and for them, and helped me understand, you know, compassion, empathy, where you can actually feel, you can kind of walk in their shoes, and he helps you. Because this book, when he starts talking, he does this a good job of explaining his journey. And so we'll be talking about that hopefully in today's program. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
From time to time, you might feel like God is distant, hard to find. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Crystal Evans-Hurst sharing how she reconnects with God.
There are times in life where you feel God's touch directly. There are other times when you feel God's touch through other people. And there are times when I couldn't feel God personally, but I could feel the hand of a friend or the hug of a mother figure in the church. And I think that's where connectivity, especially in the body of Christ, is so important. Because God shows up in lots of different ways. He shows up personally where, you know, you hear him. And there are other times when you know he's there because somebody hugs you real good and you know that God sent you that person on that day.
You'll learn more about deepening your relationship with God from Crystal Evans-Hurst today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and it is a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service, and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T. Light with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV, the daily radio program. Your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. You've got to see these two boys. You got to hear these two boys. Watch this right now. If you're watching on the Christian Television Network, you can see them. If you're listening to us on radio, go to the VFNTV.com, click on the VFN torch. You got to see these boys. It will melt your heart. Listen up.
Shout
awesome. Is that not awesome?
Wow.
We're going to make that available to you on our on our Facebook, VFNTV.com,
yes,
the VFN Torch, and it's also out there. But we just wanted to praise God by just this beautiful, think about it, two instruments, the one instrument, two gifts, the gift of being able to sing and worship and the gift of being able to play an instrument, and those two came together.
Beautiful.
And obviously it's an anointed moment.
Oh,
I mean, think about
powerful.
It. Powerful. And they chose to use it for the glory of God.
Wow. Beautiful.
And then amazing. Dear, that just gives you so hope for this generation coming up, right?
Yes.
That just gives you so much hope and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
You know, I want to encourage you too. If you're a young person and you're watching that video today, this is the one of the best times that you have in your life to be able to devote to learning an instrument. You know, probably as you get older, I know it's been my experience, you go, man, I'd love to be able to pick up a guitar. I just don't have time to learn, or you want to learn other
things.
You
just got older.
making a point. And you don't have that time to invest in it. This is their time to invest in those gifts, those, you know, those opportunities to learn something new. Mm-hmm. And learning an instrument takes some time. But when you do that, look at the beautiful things that can come out of that and worship for the Lord. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, you know the study of the brain, right? You remember the study of the brain that they did? those who actually grow up in music, and you can tell the brain develops by folds, different folds that are in the brain. They all have a unique fold back in the medulla or whatever in the back of the brain on the right hand side that other people don't have. People that were in music, it just develops a whole other part of the brain, which gives you a whole new aspect of life, being able to look at it as one that's creative, and I definitely enjoy it. Think about it.
Enjoy it.
David did it. Just him, God, his guitar, and his view, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God said, that's the man I want to lead my people. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to be talking about this largest police force in the producer.
We already had it.
Wow.
Wow.
Time flies.
This is VFN Radio. Yes.
Amazing. Hey, I'm here.
We are here.
Well, let me talk right now. I guess I'll wait
Your
till after the program.
Yeah.
Well, John wanted me to talk about the biggest police forces
in
town. Yeah. And according to the Jerusalem Post now, and you can subscribe, by the way, to the Jerusalem Post. Go to jerusalempost.com and support getting the news out about what's taking place in Israel. And let's talk about the top 10.
Okay.
The top 10 largest police forces in the world. And then I did some research and found out what the population was, because it makes a big difference. I mean, if you have 20 people in your nation and you have 19 police officers in law enforcement, that's not good. That's not good for that one person. I got to take it from the last one. No, okay. But if you have a billion folks, it's a big difference. But anyway, so the 10th largest, according to the Jerusalem Post, 10th largest law enforcement police force in the world.
Mm.
Number, ready? I guess the drum roll is not going to count. I was waiting for the drum roll. There was a drum roll going to happen, but it never came. Hold on a minute. Anyway, so the 10th largest is Pakistan.
Wow.
Pakistan. And it's 354,221 police officers.
Wow.
Think about that. And they're the largest, according to the Jerusalem Post.
Hmm.
I'm sorry. They're the 10th largest. Not the number one largest. We're working our way up.
Yes.
I'm about to say, that couldn't be. You know, I thought I was going to go on break, but I'm here. No. So the 10th largest, we're working our way to the number one largest. So the Pakistan has the 354,221 police officers and law enforcement. Think about this, though. They only have 179,000 people. 179,000.
That's a million.
Thousand? Where?
Million.
Okay, Greg. Okay, hold on. Wait a minute.
All right.
Stick to the teleprompter.
Can you pinch it?
Right.
You are alive. You're here. Okay.
So we're going to talk about the world's largest police force.
Yeah, that's what we're trying to do.
In the world. I'm just, you know, I'm used to talking billions and trillions. I'm an American, and we're in a debt crisis here. Okay, so the number 10 largest
take 20
police force is 354,221 police officers in Pakistan. I can't say it that way. I used to go Pakistan.
It's Pakistan.
We went from Texas, Pakistan.
That's right.
Now we're like Pakistan.
Well, he probably, how do you say? He's probably going to write
Pakistan. Oh, yeah, he is right. Yeah, he's right.
he's going to get it right.
No, he's right. In a population of 179.16 million. Mm. Okay, that's a tenth. They're going like, oh my goodness, I got 94. I'm with you.
Help us, Lord,
I am so with you with this thing. Yeah, there was actually a camera moving around. You would even see me going, I'm with you all the way, all the way. Okay, look at this one. I'm with you all the way. Thank you, cameraman. And so the ninth largest in the world is Nicaragua. 371,800 law enforcement officers with 174 million people.
I think that's Nigeria.
Is it? Get my notes right. Get my notes
this
right.
Is amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
This is amazing. Okay. Did he have his V8? The V8. We did not put that on the table. The V8.
He needs some turkey.
He needs some K-On.
With some K-On sauce.
Okay, I got my glasses.
Oh, he can see.
Getting back to the top 10.
We're running out of time here.
Siberia. Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Nigeria. It's hot. Turn that fan on.
Sorry. You can see how sorry I was if the camera was moving. But right now, the cameraman's on the floor laughing.
Wow.
Let's pray.
Oh.
And so.
Bing, bang, boom.
Number nine. Who is it hot in here?
Oh.
It is hot. Man. We're not going to get to Sun Hamas in this program. But we will. Oh, did you? Oh, thank you. That was so wonderful. Thank you, Mr. Editor. Anyway, so I'm going to write down that time code. We won't tell you what happened.
Oh,
anyway,
goodness.
So Nigeria is number nine.
379,800
with 141,000,000 I got to blow this thing up, man. I cannot see it. Who cares?
We need that billboard.
Who cares?
Hey.
So did
we're
I
not having a program
that?
Here today. What are we doing?
Why does John want to hear about how big police forces are?
We needed some segments. We've got some segments now.
Why do you even care? You want me to read these things?
This is so important. We need to know this.
Okay.
We need to know what's happening around the world.
John, can you please tell us
how big? You're doing such a good job.
You're rolling.
We're not going to miss this moment.
We're back to Siberia again. We're just going to skip number nine and go to number eight. Speaking of Turkey, number eight is Turkey. 412,624.
Very good.
Police officers. Don't talk. I've got to do the population.
You see the eyes? He said, don't you go
don't
there.
Talk right now. And the population is 75.6. I can't see good, all right?
Hey, in front of me.
Mr. 40 years old.
Oh, come on.
Days.
Don't deflect. Come on, stay focused.
Thank you. My teleprompter just got bigger. Thank you very much. Number seven, Brazil.
Wow.
Brazil is 400. We're talking about police officers, by the way, how much big the police forces are. For some reason, I don't even remember what the reason was. It's 478,000 police officers.
Wow, that's a lot. You know, I believe they're going to have the World Cup this summer there. That's a lot of, man, that's a lot of police officers for that country.
Brazilian law enforcement, they're going to have the World Cup.
In Brazil, they're going to have the big, no.
We're talking about police forces.
I know,
here.
But think about it. That's a lot of police.
I'm
that's
on
a lot of police.
Seven. You're interjecting. I'm on seven, and we have this little bit of time left to do. Jiminy.
Oh, my
interjection
God.
Crickets.
Hey.
So, Brazil has 478,000 police officers, law enforcement. Stop. And it's 198 million in population. I mean, think about this. How many people are taking these small nations and making a huge boast against our nation? And they're going, what about, you know, Pakistan? What about this country and that country? And it's like, we have 300 million folks here. We have the biggest economy in the world. And you're putting us down. You're saying we need to be like this country and that country. And it's like they could fit in Jersey, some of these countries.
No doubt.
You know what I'm saying? At least their police force can. Number six is Mexico. This is interesting.
What are they doing?
We're working our way to the large.
Sorry, Mexico. Listen, what are you doing?
I want to say I appreciate Mexican law enforcement that's down there because America would be overwhelmed.
Well,
without the 20% that are doing okay. The
hello, this is
Mexico. Mexico has 544,000 law enforcement officers, and they only have 120,000 folks.
Million
folks.
They only have 120 million folks.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
I'm not going to get this in.
Is it keeper?
I got to get this in. I'm sweating.
This is almost as good as Croaks.
Come on, we got five more. We only got a couple minutes.
Thank God the camera's not moving around.
Oh, my goodness.
Cameraman, where
we
are you,
We do have a limited amount of time on the program.
Listen. So we're on five? Is it five?
I hope so.
The fifth largest is
Police force in
Thank
the
you.
World.
579,000 police officers. Stop.
Don't look at me.
I'm sorry. It's a television program. Yeah. Yeah. I knew you wrote that email. Number five. Indonesia, 579,000 law enforcement officers with 264 million folks. Number four. Four is Russia right now, the ones that's pouring into some country.
Ukraine. Ukraine.
I'm not going to go there. 782,000 law enforcement officers, 143 million. They're half our size.
Yeah.
Half our size. And wow. I think that Putin's half our height.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
and number three is us, the United States of America. 794,000 police officers, but we have 317 million folks. Mm-hmm. So we're twice the size of Russia. India is number two with 1.58 million law enforcement officers with 1.24 billion folks, though. See the big difference there? Yeah. And China's number one, but understand they're number one because they have 1.3 billion people in their population. But they have 1.6 million law enforcement officers.
Wow.
I just want to thank the Lord for helping me get through that. I appreciate the opportunity.
Us too.
To go through that. And sorry about that. God bless.
Blue Angel, hot tubs, pools, and spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Cordova Lanes in Pensacola. Not just your ordinary bowling alley. It's your community center that is perfect for family gatherings, school field trips, church socials, networking opportunities, and so much more. Come visit and strike with us today. Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai. Buying a car can be an overwhelming thing. I encourage you to visit Glenn Parker at Allen Turner Hyundai, where Glenn makes buying a car smooth and easy. Visit him today in Car City. You'll be glad you did. Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. Go visit Tony Baker. Listen, doesn't matter if you're in good shape, bad shape. He'll get you in the right shape. All the training you can get for self-defense in Pensacola. Visit him today at Downtown Gracie Jiu-Jitsu. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I wanted to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on sign up for the newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it. Sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because you got to have, you got to, listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes and why you need to function. I mean, we got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for the Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
We have a great way for your VFN Radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
Welcome to the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV and the daily radio program. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
If you missed our earlier program, you can find out a lot of different things.
You definitely.
But don't forget, we're four programs back to back. And if you miss one of them, like we're on Christian Television Network, you may catch one of our programs every day. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio. But we're also on Christian Television Network, WHBR in the Gulf Coast region. That's out right there. We're going to give a big shout out to David Mayo. And thank him down there and the other stations that are out there picking us up. It's amazing as things are just opening and things that God, remember the cannon going off. We can kind of see that cannon going off and just God wanting a positive thing, just wanting to, we have hope.
Yes.
We have hope. Yes. And hope is very important, as we learned in an earlier segment from the author.
Stephen Scott.
Yes.
Hey,
so good. That's so good.
Good.
Books.
I like that.
But we're going to be talking about neighborhood policing, being prepared. One thing the Lord in this segment today, and also talking about the son of Hamas, which is a Christian man who it literally is a son of one of the Hamas leaders, which Hamas is reportedly the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, and Mossad Youssef. And he's a Christian now. But think about that. And we'll be talking about that. It's just so encouraging. I was so blessed when I read his story and yet the boldness and his confidence and his willingness to speak his love for Jesus.
Wow.
And his understanding and compassion. He loves his father and he loves people. And but that's something he found out, that love was the difference. And we'll be talking about that and giving you the information to make that available to you. But first, we want to talk about neighborhood policing. And you think about neighborhood preparedness, not being a police officer, because we have police officers, but about, you know, you're in a neighborhood. Most people don't know this, because if you walk around looking at folks, they're looking at digital devices, right? I mean, they're looking at their iPhones, pads,
Androids
and all that. You know, and some people may say, well, I can't believe you're just playing games on that thing. Well, the truth is, technology does so much. They actually could be balancing their checkbook. They could be paying bills. They could be talking to their children. They could be checking. So when you look at somebody that's looking at a digital device, you can't just automatically say, you know, they're just doing nothing, not paying attention. I mean, they may be taking care of responsibilities. There's a day you had to wait to get to a phone before you can get to a lot, or had to drive to the utility company, or you had to mail something off, and it was a little bit slower. And so technology is really helping us out today. As a matter of fact, I was sitting in a grocery store parking lot waiting for Donna to come out, and she was in there buying some lettuce. Let us pray. And I was watching these folks. I'm thinking, like, look at these guys and their technology. I mean, everybody's the mothers and the children. They're just, you know, playing games and doing all that kind of stuff. I just said, don't do. I'm saying that. And I thought, I just can't believe it. We're just so hooked on technology. Hmm. And that's just crazy. That stuff's got to stop. And then I looked at mine and kept on working on mine. Because from the other side, when people's looking at you, they just think it's whatever you're doing is not that important. Right. But today you could be turning on your security system in your house. You could be watching cameras when people are trying to break into your front door. You know, you could be telling a local official how much you appreciate what they're doing by posting something on a Facebook. I mean, so many different things.
Sure.
And so it expands things. But in that, what happens is we are in this physical world. We're going to have to look up. And one thing the Lord, I was doing prayer walks, Luke 10 type prayer walks in my community, and just praying and asking the Lord to bless my neighbors and just praying over their marriages and their businesses and all that as I caught my breath. Lord, no. And I was just praying. The Lord laid on my heart, this was some time back, to start a neighborhood watch. And I'm like, oh, yeah, time is something that we'll have an eternity. We're not going to have it here.
Exactly.
Every second we invest is in the kingdom.
That's right.
You know, every second.
One person who totally understands this, I know, is Steve Hill. He does not waste a second. Mm-hmm. He is an example for so many folks. But we just invest. It takes both of our brain cells to do everything that's going on. But so I'm walking, doing this prayer walk, and I'm saying, Lord, you know, help my neighbors, bless them, bless their marriages, bless their children, give them creative ideas, you know, protect them so that your angels around them, and these different things like this that you can pray, and pray that his kingdom would come. Mm-hmm. And then God answers prayer. But quite often when you're praying, you'll find out he'll make you part of the answer.
Mm.
He'll make you, and it's not a negative thing, because somebody who's actually prayed and researched what God says and God's revealing things to you, you understand what needs to be done. So like most American Christians, I put it off for about a year or two. Oh. You know, if you think about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, God's called me in the mission field. That was about 5 years ago. I was like, that country's not even there anymore, son. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's not there anymore. It's got a new tyrannical leader now.
Crimea is now Russian.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
And because I was there in the neighborhood, so I thought, you know, I can respond. And so God sent two separate neighbors to me. And they said, you know, we were talking about starting a neighborhood watch and and we were thinking, you know, would you, and they came different times. Mm-hmm. And would you be okay to
do that?
I'm thinking, okay, God. I mean, to them, I'm saying yes to them. But the truth is I had God's voice all in me, you know, to start that. And it's confirmation. There was that. God will speak to you. Truly, it wasn't a delay. It was timing. And because things are coming, and this is why we're talking about, things are coming to America that the only security and safety you're going to have is going to be your brother, your neighbor, mm-hmm. one right next door to you. And love your neighbor as yourself, right? And greater love hath no man than he lay down his life for his friend. It's not just police officers that come out here and lay down their life for us every day. We need to be there for each other and protect each other. And one aspect of that, when I watched this news last night with this lady that just lost it, she probably had postpartum depression, but she was pregnant. She had kids in the vehicle. And she drove her car into the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
She drove it into the ocean, and citizens, you know, just driving by, saw that, and they went and rescued that whole family.
Wow.
And that's how we have to do it, because these things are going to happen in our neighborhoods. And the first thing you got to do, and so look at your local police department, your local sheriff's department's website, because they probably have classes. They probably have classes to begin to relate you to what you can do, who is the emergency management people in your community. FEMA, police, school. You'd be surprised how much authority your school board has there, because it's all about education and all the staff and that type of thing. And EMS, emergency management systems that come out and bring rescue out, the fire department and what they do. And just kind of understand those kind of things, because really we've been so blessed that you can live a life and life just happens. All these protective elements happen and you don't even know how they happen. Mm. We just take them for granted. But when the economy gets tight, when multiple fires happen, when multiple problems happen in a city, you only have so many officers to be able to help you. And one example, that was Hurricane Katrina. Mm-hmm. I mean, the officers had a debate. Well, am I going to go help my family, or am I going to protect your family? You know, am I going to protect this store or I'm going to go in here and shop for some groceries. And they were literally in uniform. Wow. Yeah. One of the officers, this lady officer, was walking through, and she was putting stuff in a shopping cart.
Mm-hmm.
She has family. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has the same issues that anybody else. What do you do at a time like that? And it was going to be flooded out. It was right there on Canal Street. So just think about this. So they talk about, you know, in different classes, and some of the classes that I've seen is this called, you know, neighborhood leadership academies and things of that nature. And they can help you begin to get tours of your city and how to start a neighborhood watch. And of course I did, I contacted our local sheriff's department, and I talked to them about setting up a neighborhood watch. And what do you know? They helped us start one up, and have been working with us. And but it's a simple thing to do. Secondly, is begin to build a relationship with your neighbors. We should have done that anyway as believers, as Christians. You should find out. There's somebody in your neighborhood that might be, if it was cold and their heat went out, they would not live through the night.
Yeah,
because of their age, because of their medical conditions. There could be a single mother who has children in there that she doesn't. If something's going down, she might not be able to protect what's going on. There's some that can, but some that can't. And there's others that are in your neighborhood and your community, your neighborhood, that may have a spouse that's going through some sort of sickness, maybe like Alzheimer's or something of that nature, mm-hmm. that all their attention is paid to caretaker for that person. And so they're just out of society at the time. They need somebody mm-hmm. to come by and check on them. And there's just so many different things. The big thing is being a Christian. Just love. Be a Christ follower in your neighborhood and go around every now and then and just say, everything all right? Mm-hmm. With the technology, you can actually email with one email. You can email all of your neighbors, and they can email back to you if something happens, and you start building those relationships. What's very, very important is when trouble comes into your neighborhood is that you, as your neighbors, you know each other. You know that that's so-and-so's son. That's no suspect. That's not no stranger right there. That's somebody that the situation they had in Brownsville, where they thought that somebody was a stranger walking right. in their parking lot. And the truth was, it was somebody that sat by her for 5 years because she built no relationship. So she called the police officer. Mm. She called the police department on a fellow Christian that was in her parking lot. You know why? She never took time to build relationships. So just because you're sitting beside someone in your church, just because you're sitting beside someone or living beside someone in your community, doesn't mean you know each other.
Right.
And I mean, we don't want to be that, you know, they say that a neighbor that stays too long, and Proverbs talks about neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, like if they're always in your house, you know, it talks about that. Read Proverbs right. about that. But it's not about, you know, oh, let's have dinner together. It's like, okay, all right.
Oh, you again.
But some sort of formatted situation. And, you know, what we started doing was we first went around, Don and I, we went around every single house in our community. It took us 2 days we got off of work at the end of the day, and we just went to every single house and introduced ourselves and told them what we were doing. We were going to have a meeting, and in that meeting, we were just going to talk and decide out loud, is there anything we want to do here? And we found out, we went around, that people were being broke into. Mm. People's cars were being broke into. Their houses were being broke into. Their garages were being broke into. And we didn't realize till we went around in this small community, a small neighborhood, that people are being victimized continually over and over again. One particular lady, she goes to the store and comes back maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes later. All of her valuables, her jewelry and everything was gone. And it was like, we didn't even know this was going on. Because of this way it is, people just watch their TVs and look at technology, just kind of live separate lives. And the thing, when it comes to security and building a safe neighborhood, you're going to have to know each other. Because just because she or he looks like a suspicious person, it could be your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that. Think about this Roy Middleton. Mm. You know, Roy Middleton, this man is in his own house in his own driveway, and his neighbor across the street sees him in his own driveway, and he obviously doesn't know him well, and calls the police on his own. The citizen that's in his own house in his own neighborhood, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
It happened in Brownsville. We were talking about that mm-hmm. situation. And if you don't know somebody, how are you going to know whether they are a part of your neighborhood or not? And the best thing is just get, you know who they are, know who they are, and start building a relationship. And that takes time to do that. And understand this. And what I found out is that my neighbors believe in the Second Amendment. I have neighbors that believe in the Second Amendment, and they have all kinds of Second Amendment security, and they're not worried about a lot of things. But they also, once they begin to find out what was happening, they had this natural compassion that came out and said, you know, I'll stand up for this person. I'll stand up for that. And I remember one of my neighbors and myself, he came and got me because one of the single ladies that live in our neighborhood, her front door was ajar at like midnight. Mm-hmm. And when we were, so he came and got me, we're going to go together. And so we go over there, and it's been a long time. I've been a police officer for a while, and I mean, he's real tight behind me. And we're going there, and the door, you push it open. You know, not to the door. The door just swung open, and it's like dark in the house. And you're thinking, oh, I mean, every thought, you know, just hits you all of a sudden. And I begin to just call out, you know, for this particular's name, Tracy. No, that's what I'm just joking. And called out for this person's name, and it took a while. I mean, all everything's going through your head, you know, that, you know, oh my goodness, real, real sweet lady. I'm not going to say too much about her because anyway, but we find out that she just did not close her door good. And it was open by about 4 inches. And, when she was sleeping in her room.
Wow.
And, but we're able to be there for her, but it's because we built that relationship. Mm-hmm. He came and got me, we went together and we were able to be there for her. So three of us were working together. And what happens is whether you meet all the time, understand this, that as long as you have a core group of people that you're connected and a way to communicate with everybody, if something goes down and things have gone down, instantly we communicate with each other. And it's so cool because they're starting to email back and forth and go, thank you, I appreciate you watching after that. One particular lady, and we're going to go to break, I know, that she got her house burglarized while she was at work. And immediately an email was sent out to the whole neighborhood, I mean, moments after the burglary took place, and one of the neighbors who works out of his home came all the way around to the other side of the neighborhood, who never would have known her outside of building those relationships, and comforted her.
Wow.
And was there for her because her husband, well, she wasn't single, but her husband was out of the state mm-hmm. working, but she was single at that moment. And one of the neighbors who met through that, and it's like,
wow, that's awesome.
I was so proud of our neighbors, you know. And but it took hearing from God, you know, getting together, not telling people what we're going to do, because you have to want to do it, and begin to just explore that. And what I did was contact the local sheriff's department and or maybe it's a police department where you're at, and begin that neighborhood watch part. But understand there's so many different other areas. And now we have leaders come out and speak to our neighborhood, people that are running for office, people that are running for different things, people that are presently in leadership, to tell us what we need to know and to educate us about the water system, garbage, electricity, whatever it is. And it's like, wow, it's like wow, community.
Wow.
And it's important because what's about to come on the face of the earth and what's about to come to America, you're going to need to know your neighbors. But just being Christians, he says that we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. And so the best ministry we could ever do is probably within 2 or 3 blocks of where you live and just be there.
Yeah.
And I love my neighbors and I'm there for them and they're there for us. And it's so encouraging. And we're gonna go to the break. But one of my neighbors said this, and one of my neighbors is going through some physical stuff, and we were all meeting. And this is what made my day. He says, "You know what, Greg?" And everybody's just listening. Yes. He goes, "I just feel so much safer that you're doing this."
Wow.
And I thought, man, that's like a Jesus thing, isn't it? That's what we're supposed to do. Be there for each other, and you can do that in your neighborhood. To find out more, go to vfntv.com. And we'll have details for you on the torch, the VFN torch. Go to vfntv.com and click on the torch and look for a neighboring neighborhood preparedness. Neighborhood preparedness. Loving your neighbor as yourself.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
So what's up? What's up? You know, I was listening to VFN Radio, and I just noticed that there was just such a all over the place with your emotions and things. Because, you know, first I know that Chris had gotten got him a little dog for the family, a cute little pug or something.
Being nice for his daughter.
Yeah,
you know?
And some reason I remember hearing something like, "I can't believe you got a dog," something like that.
And then,
and then as I fast forwarded through the VFM radio segment to hear what's going on, I can't believe that he talked about a pug like that.
Exactly.
And then the next thing I hear the next day is like, I just had to have one. And it was like jealousy. It was jealousy. That's what it was. All the other stuff was jealousy. I want a pug. I want a pug. I want a pug. And what he really didn't want a pug. He just wanted what his brother had. You remember that old time battle stuff? So now he has one. Mm. Now he has one, and I'm just praying for the pug. You know, he's doing things like what dogs do.
Normal functions.
At least it's little. I mean, if it's a max, it'd be like, somebody move Everest out of here. And now I understand that I was looking on the adoption papers, and Mojo Samson, whoa, whatever the dog's name is, Puck, you know, is up for adoption. 25 cents, and he comes with a collar and a shots.
That's right.
No, that's I don't know if it's true or not, but
it could be.
Oh man!
All this, he was cute at first. Those all, and you should see him. He was cooing. I was getting pictures of this dog. I mean, he was blowing up my phone.
Yeah, that's the same here, man.
I saw him on his lap, on his chest, on his neck. Then I saw this bag. I said, wait a minute. He is not. No. He's driving with the dog hanging out the window. No. Wait a minute. What
his bags are packed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the whole thing is like, it's the ugliest dog I've ever seen in my life.
I wouldn't have gone to your braves. Yeah.
No, it was like, dang, got some big eyes on the thing, you know? And he has it on his shoulder. He sends it pictures to us. It's sitting on his shoulder, sitting on his dash. I don't know. It's sitting all over the place. And now I think it's pooing all over the place, and he wants it to go. But it's like, sort of like, you know, say, hey, honey, we just want to have children, you know? And then you say, let's have a child. They have a child. It's like, the baby's pooing. It's like, we got to get rid of the baby. Like, no. We can handle this. We can train this child. We don't have to get rid of it. We can conquer this. We can conquer this thing. We'll have to train them. And, there's a dog training school right close by.
There is? Yes.
How long? By your place, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how? He sprayed me when I went there. Yeah, he did.
Really?
The person who teaches.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It was like intense.
You weren't listening.
No, he knew the alpha dog wasn't around. Right. But it was like rude. Anyway, so John was there with this little 2-ounce thing.
Right.
It was so funny, right? Like,
yeah.
Max is like, boom, 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 jumping stuff and what was your dog?
Oh, she did it.
Coco.
She did it.
Coco, yeah.
Proud of Coco.
That was so cute, you know? And it did the thing. It was just like, tickle, tickle, tickle. Like, I don't know. It was just so, almost like it wasn't touching the floor. It was so light. The dog was so light. And it was amazing. Totally amazing. And it's just time for you to go to school.
That's
yes.
It.
Time for you to go to school.
I put some Caesar moves on him the other day.
Oh my goodness, it's a pug.
It's a little thing.
You got to teach him other young.
Oh, my goodness. Is he limping or anything?
No, he's good. He's good.
You could do that, like, claw thing.
Oh, no.
Oh, he did.
Great. Now the pug is traumatized. Now,
I know, man.
Hey, work for Holly. She's very obedient.
Yeah,
dog.
We see how she said, poor the Holly.
Yeah, she ran from the pug. Holly. She ran, and the pug was up to its toenail.
Not anymore.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She had enough.
Oh, wow.
She was being gentle. Now she's like, she just looks at him. And he's like, on his back.
So
that's a submissive thing.
Everybody's hating on the pug now.
Wow.
I'm just so sad.
Isn't it sad?
It was totally fine. And now, you know.
Well, you know, he got comfortable. He's got an attitude now.
Oh, my God.
You got to deal with that.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Well, PETA, I just want to say.
Yeah, Samson, we're praying for you. Okay? Yeah.
Is that his name this week, Samson?
This week, I don't know. Tomorrow, I don't know.
I'm sure there's a few other adjectives they probably describe. Get that dog out of here!
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Greg Lancaster joining me is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. We're coming to the end of our program, so I just want to talk to you about what we're going to talk about tomorrow's program, because this is so encouraging. I'm going to be talking about a book that was written by the author Mossad Youssef, the son of Hamas, and it is a powerful, powerful book, I think, that Christians definitely need to read right now to have an understanding of the Palestinian human beings that lived there. And he talks about his journey as a young man and how his father, and the reason why he's son of Hamas, he is the son of a leader in Hamas. And Hamas is reportedly the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood. And so he's basically like the one of the leader's sons. And but his dad, this guy loves his dad. Yusef loves his dad. And he saw his dad go through a lot of sufferings in his life, and his dad wanted to help out with the neighbors, and they always came to his dad for wisdom, and he watched all these things take place. At the same time, he heard other aspects of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Hamas who are militant in nature. And his dad wasn't militant in nature, but he was in partnership with those who are militant in nature. But he was actually helping folks out and all that. But yeah, as a young man, he actually, the book talks about from throwing rocks, because he was one of the ones that would throw rocks at the Israeli Defense Force, and to actually finding Jesus. Wow. And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow on this journey, because, you know, part of healing someone is hearing someone. And we cannot just throw a blanket judgment over human beings. We have to be able to reach out to them and understand that God loves Muslims.
Yeah.
You know, God loves you, and God loves people, and he wants no man to perish. He wants them to be saved. But the love of God is so important, they ask, but not religion. And what he found out was he began to just compare some things between, you know, being human, being Islamic, you know, Muslim, being a part of the Hamas, being the son of Hamas leader, being a part of prayer and seeking out for what he thought was God, you know, and reading the writings of Muhammad, to being, I'm going to talk about how he went through this whole journey of being interrogated by the Israeli Defense Force because he was into weapons and that type of thing. And then he joined the side of Israel and began to help Israel, remove those that are trying to hurt people. And then after that, because of the love of God and the love he saw through that, oh, it's going to be so exciting to hear this whole journey, because he's going to teach us on his own testimony about how we need to think about people. And in the end, love wins out. But his book is called The Son of Hamas, and you've got to get it. We'll talk more about it in tomorrow's program. But understand that part of right now, because you have all this news coming at you, you have all these people who have opinions, you got political people that are saying all kinds of things. But you have to understand the very people on television that people are saying these things about, you got to, as a Christian, you got to say, God, who is this person? And if you love that person, how can, and begin to just explore that. You know what I'm saying?
We have to have a heavenly perspective, not an earthly perspective, and believe that God wants to touch, and he does, every single person on the face of the earth.
Exactly. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. We're going to get to this tomorrow. The son of Hamas, Mossad Yousef, and and he's in America right now, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And I can't wait to talk about it. God bless.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Visit Copy Products today with 5 locations on the Gulf Coast to better serve you. They can help you with all of your copying and scanning needs. Copy machines, fax machines, scanners, printers, shredders, and so much more. Contact them today at 850-432-1580. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.